For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 8 of the series.
Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord just as you have said." So this is a prophecy of the end of the exile, of the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, of the greater Exodus, that the judgment upon Egypt is a prophecy of the judgment upon the nations. And in the judgment of the nations, the head of nations, Babylon, is going to be judged. And when Babylon is judged, Jacob is redeemed. We can see this. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, the burden of Babylon. Verse 5, they come from a far country to destroy the whole land. And the attack is devastating. Verse 20, it will never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. And as a result of the judgment upon Babylon, this is taking place in Isaiah 13 and verse 6, in the day of the Lord, in verse 8, when pains and sorrows, a term for the tribulation period, takes hold upon them, that as a result, Isaiah 14 verse 1, the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and set them in their own land. We can see how the judgment upon Babylon is associated with the redemption of the 12 tribes of Israel. Isaiah 48 verse 1, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob." Verse 14, "He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his people, when judgment comes upon Babylon, are told to flee." Isaiah 48:20, "Go forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing." Singing, song, is laughter, is joy, it's Isaac, it's redemption. "Declare this, tell this, utter it, do it to the ends of the earth, and say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob." We see this principle in Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse 1, the word that the Lord spoke against Babylon. And verse 3, "For out of the north there comes up a nation against her." In verse 18, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land." And in doing so, and bringing judgment upon the king of Babylon and his land, verse 19, "I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and I will feed him on Carmel and Bashan. His soul will be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead." We can see that when Babylon is judged, Jacob is redeemed. He redeems Zion, those who believe the covenant promises made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are looking for the Messiah and have repented of their sins and seeking to follow his Torah. And as Babylon is being judged, his children, in looking to flee Babylon, will be asking the way to Zion. And those who are fleeing are Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. Jeremiah 50 verse 1, "The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon." Verse 3, "For out of the north there comes a nation against her that will make her land desolate, and none will dwell therein." Verse 4, "In those days and at that time," which is an idiomatic expression for the end of days, for messianic times, for the day of the Lord. "In those days and in that time," says the Lord, "the children of Israel will come," that's Northern Kingdom, "they and the children of Judah," that's Southern Kingdom, "and they will ask the way to Zion." So in the fall and the judgment of Babylon, the king of Babylon and his land, the children of Israel northern kingdom, and the children of Judah, southern kingdom, that are living in this land of Babylon. And if you do a deeper study of Isaiah 13 and Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah 50-51, who's being judged is the daughter of Babylon. It is a end time entity that has the characteristics of the historical Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar, but this is an end time nation that's being judged during the times of the tribulation upon the nations when the Messiah is gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. And so it says, I will raise against Babylon in a destroying wind, and you that escape the sword, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Let Jerusalem come to your mind. So who do I believe these prophecies are referring to specifically in Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50-51 that refers to the fall of Babylon and the redemption of his people? I believe it's referring to the fall and the destruction of the United States of America, that the United States of America will be judged in the context of the judgment of all nations. And the judgment is because they reject the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they are seeking to impose and bring about a Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, with the dividing of Jerusalem, making East Jerusalem the capital of this state. And so now the principle that we've been sharing with you through a variety of examples. How are we going to understand the greater Exodus when Messiah gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel and returns his people to the land? So Messiah is redeeming those who belong to his body. And so that means that people that the world calls Christians, that even as Messiah shed blood on the tree, was for anyone that was willing to repent of their sins and accept Yeshua and thus join his family. When you accept the salvation of Yeshua the Messiah through his shed blood, you've joined his family and thus you became a part of his redemption. Well, his redemption is not only to save you from your sins, but a part of his redemptive work is to fulfill the promises that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as was prophesied in Luke chapter 1, as is said that the Messiah would do by Paul in Romans in chapter 15 and verse 8, that Yeshua HaMashiach was sent to confirm the promises made to the fathers, that the way in which he's going to do it is associated with the way he did do it. And until we see the fullness of the fulfillment of the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even the redemption from Egypt is incomplete. And so this principle is communicated by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson from his book In the Garden of Torah, where he explains that the exodus from Egypt is connected to the final and ultimate redemption. That is, Israel no longer being in exile in the nations. When is Israel no longer in exile in the nations? During the Messianic era, when Messiah is ruling and reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel, when Israel's the head of the nations. That the Messianic era is linked with the exodus from Egypt, because in the promise of bringing his people out of Egypt, the Messianic era and Messiah ruling and reigning in his kingdom, with Israel being the head of the nations, teaching the Torah to all nations from Jerusalem, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3, is the ultimate fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that his people would be delivered out of Egypt. We can see this connection of the future end of the exile with what happened in Egypt from Hosea chapter 2 verse 15. I will give her her vineyards from there in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Now, Achor in Hebrew means trouble or troubling. So we can say the valley of trouble, the valley of trouble. The deeper meaning of the valley of trouble is the tribulation period. Now, there's a literal place in Israel called the Valley of Achor, but that literal place is prophetic of a time of the tribulation period, which is the judgment of the nations for dividing the land of Israel in the city of Jerusalem. And it's when and during he's judging the nations of the world that he's going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, that the tribulation period is going to be a door of hope. Why? Because it goes on to say, she shall sing there. That's future. She will sing in the greater Exodus as in the days of her youth. She will sing as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. When did she sing? Exodus chapter 15. She sang when the Red Sea was parted and Pharaoh was defeated and his chariots drowned in the Red Sea. Micah chapter 7 verse 15. According to the days of your coming out of Egypt, according to those days, will I in the future show him marvelous things. So this principle is also communicated by Rebbe Menachem Schneerson in his book Torah Studies on page 96, where he says, like the days of your exodus from the land of Egypt, will I demonstrate wonders that the future redemption will parallel the historical Egyptian redemption. So if that's the case, we have to look at this connection, the spiritual picture. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 22, it says, the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. So the promise is that there would be a deliverance from Egypt, that the children of Israel would go to the promised land. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, he brought us out from there, that is Egypt, that he might bring us in. That is the promised land. That is the land of Canaan. That is the land of Israel. He brought us out that he might bring us in to give us a land, or a land is your inheritance, that he swore to your fathers to fulfill the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the spiritual journey is from Egypt to the promised land, but not just the entrance into the land. The children of Israel entered in by the Jordan through the leadership of Joshua. And so it's just not entering into the land is the people receiving the land. They were to go to a specific place in the land. Their ultimate journey in the land was Jerusalem. And they didn't fully come to Jerusalem till they had a king that ruled over all 12 tribes from Jerusalem. That didn't happen until it was done by King David. And so on the natural plane, that the children of Israel coming out of Egypt was not fulfilled. They didn't reach the goal and the purpose of the coming out of Egypt till they went into the land, until they had a king, King David, ruled over all 12 tribes from Jerusalem. And when he did that, it was said that King David ruled over his people from Zion. So that's Zion, is when a king, King David's rule over the 12 tribes is a prophetic foreshadowing of the Messiah ruling over all 12 tribes. From Jerusalem, that's when Messiah sets up his kingdom. And when we have this fulfillment, then he's ruling from Zion. Messiah is ruling over his people from Zion, and they've come into the promised land. Messiah ruling and reigning over them, and there being no more exile. And so the journey is from Egypt, not just generically to the promised land, but to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem means the Lord sees peace. So the journey is to bring you to Jerusalem, where you will have peace. Well, you will be at peace from your enemies. And so the end of the journey is Jerusalem, which is the Lord sees peace, which is peace in Hebrew is shalom, and rest from your enemies, and they're not over you and bringing bondage upon you. Well, rest is Shabbat. So the end of the journey out of Egypt is Shalom and Shabbat. The end of the journey is Jerusalem. The end of the journey is Zion. And Zion is the Messiah ruling and reigning over 12 tribes of Israel when he sets up his kingdom, when they recognize him as the Messiah. And he's teaching his Torah to them, and they're following his Torah. And Israel's the head of all nations. So that's the fullness of the completion of the people coming out of Egypt and going to the promised land and going to Jerusalem and coming to Zion. Well, David ruled over united Israel from Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David. And 2 Samuel 5, 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron, and they anointed David king over Israel. So when David, King David, rules over all 12 tribes, and he's recognized as the king of Israel by all 12 tribes, it says, 2 Samuel 5, 7, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. So the journey out of Egypt, you see, the final redemption is linked to the redemption from Egypt. And so the journey out of Egypt is to go to the promised land. The journey out of Egypt is to go to Jerusalem. The journey out of Egypt is to go to Zion. The journey out of Egypt is to go to Mount Zion. Jeremiah chapter 3, 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, I'm married unto you. I will take you, one of a city, two of a family. I will bring you to Zion. And so the completion of the journey out of Egypt is, I'm going to marry you, and I'm going to take you and marry you. Well, this was the promise when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, was he was going to take them, and he was going to marry them. In Exodus, in chapter 6, in verses 6 and 7, wherefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. I will take you, that means in Hebrew, marry. I will take you, and I will be your God, you will be my people. That's the marriage language when he's one with his people. So the redemption from Egypt is linked to the ultimate and final redemption. So Jeremiah 3:14, when he redeems his people from the nations of the world, of which the bondage in Egypt is a foreshadowing of being exiled in the nations of the world, when he brings them back from the nations of the world, when he gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel, it says, I'm married to you. I will take you, one of a city, two of a family. I will bring you to Zion. So Zion, or Mount Zion, is when the 12 tribes are united under a king who all 12 tribes recognize as their king. Historically, it was King David, but prophetically, it's the Messiah. Jeremiah 3:18, in those days, the house of Judah will walk with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, southern kingdom, the house of Israel, northern kingdom, and they will come together out of the land of the north to the land that I've given for an inheritance unto your fathers. So the final redemption is linked to the redemption from Egypt. And so the fullness of the redemption from Egypt is bring them to the promised land, to bring them to Jerusalem, and to bring them to Mount Zion, where they will recognize one king over all 12 tribes. And this is when the Messiah rules and reigns over all 12 tribes from Jerusalem, teaching his Torah to them. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. We call this the Messianic era. So the redemption from Egypt is not complete till we get to the Messianic era. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. I brought them out that I might bring them in to give them a land that he swore to their fathers. Well, what ultimately did he swear to the fathers? That even though they broke the covenant, went into exile, that he's going to redeem them by the redemptive work of the Messiah, and there's going to be a Messianic era. And so Mount Zion is associated with the Messianic era. Isaiah 2:2, it says, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. So that mountain is Mount Zion. And many people will go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, Mount Zion, to the house of the God of Jacob. That's the temple. He will teach us his ways. That's the Torah. We will walk in his paths. That's following his Torah. Because out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So exile is a result of breaking the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. It will come to pass if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe, to do all the commandments and statutes which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will scatter you among all the people from one end of the earth even unto the other. So going into bondage or going into exile comes about when you disobey the God of Israel, when you disobey the instruction, the Torah instructions of the Messiah, when you break the Torah. But the promise in the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5, is that he's going to gather you even though you were exiled. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, it will come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I've set before you, and you will call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. And when you repent, when you shuv unto the Lord your God and obey his voice, that means to follow his Torah, according to all that I command you this day, that is at Mount Sinai, you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul, that then the Lord your God will turn your captivity and your exile in the nations of the world, have compassion upon you. Then he will gather you from all the nations where he has scattered you. If you're driven out to the farthest reaches of the heavens and earth, he will even gather you from there. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in the land of Canaan. They lived in the land of Israel. They lived in the promised land. But when I bring you back from the nations of the world to the land which your fathers possessed, you will possess it. And I will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. When's the time when his people will not be in exile, but will be in the land that their fathers were in, but better? It's the Messianic era. It's when Messiah, ruling and reigning over united 12 tribes of Israel from Jerusalem, teaching the Torah to all nations. Now, another principle of exile and redemption that we need to understand in order to see the greater Exodus in its proper context is exile is likened to a wound. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 15. But Jusserun, that's a term for Israel, waxed fat. He forsook God, which made him. He lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. As a result, he said, verse 26, I will scatter them into the corners. And then he says in Deuteronomy 32:39, I wound. That is the exile, but I also heal. That's the end of the exile. So we can see that exile is likened to a wound. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 13. It says, O daughter of Jerusalem, what shall I equal to you that I might comfort you? O virgin daughter of Zion, for your breach is great like the sea. Who can heal you? Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12. Thus says the Lord, your bruise is incurable. Your wound is great. Verse 13, there is none to please your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. And so then we see that the redemption by the Messiah is the healing of the wound. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. Return, you backsliding children. I will heal your backslidings. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wound, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, which no man seeks after. So it is a commandment in the Torah to remember the historical Egyptian redemption. Exodus 13, verse 8. You will show your son in that day, saying, this is done because what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Exodus 13, verse 9. It will be a sign. What? To remember that you came out of Egypt. It will be a sign upon your hand and memorial between your eyes that the Lord's Torah may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand has the Lord brought you out of Egypt. So based upon this principle that it's a commandment that Yeshua gave to his people, given that he made covenant with Abraham and gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, that his people were to remember his deliverance of his people out of Egypt all the days of their life. It was to be a sign upon their hand and a memorial between their eyes. This is the principle that Paul communicates in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. When he's writing to those in Corinth, primarily non-Jewish believers, that they were not to be ignorant, that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all immersed under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And the reason why we're to remember is because of the principle that I'm sharing with you in this teaching. I'm showing you the principles and the patterns that what happened historically is a prophecy, that in understanding the Torah and the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, this is the instruction that the God of Israel gave in his Torah by Yeshua, the Messiah, by which we will understand Yeshua's redemption of his people from all the nations of the world. They've been scattered in the end of days when he gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that the things that happened to them were a type and a shadow and a spiritual picture that was written for us upon whom the ends of the ages are come.
Well, that's going to conclude part 8 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua, the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's hebroots.org. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.